When Jesus and his followers approached Jerusalem, they came to Bethphage and Bethany at the Mount of Olives. Jesus gave two disciples a test, saying to them, "Go into the village over there. As soon as you enter it, you will find tied up there a colt that no one has ridden. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone says to you, 'Why are you doing this?' say, 'Its master needs it,' and he will send it right back away."
So they went off and found the colt tethered at a door outside in the street. They were untying it when some of the bystanders asked, "What are you doing, untying that colt?" They answered as Jesus had told them, and were then allowed to take it. So they brought the colt to Jesus and spread their cloaks on it, and he mounted. And people carpeted the road with their cloaks, while others spread brushwood which they had cut in the fields. And those who went ahead and others who came behind shouted, "Hosanna! Blessings on him who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessings on the coming kingdom of our father David. Hosanna in the highest." He entered Jerusalem and went into the temple, where he looked at the whole scene. But as it was now late, he went out to Bethany with the 12.
Palms waving, voices rising, praise and rejoicing. Holy Week begins with pomp and circumstance as Jesus enters Jerusalem. Now, when we are in person, the children lead our way jubilantly with branches pell-mell down the aisle. Songs and shouts of "Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna" echo on the walls. This is our second Palm Sunday from home, and I want to remind you of a request I made last year. I asked you to join us in an ancient tradition of piling stones. These are my words from last year. We will mark our moment of return with Palm Sunday stones. As we are able and ready to return to worship in the sanctuary, we will build an altar from the stones you hold today, the stones you might find tomorrow. We will let the stones shout out that God is present, that Jesus shows up in the common places, and that distance between us does not separate us. And we will let that altar speak to us and tell a story of community. I want to remind you of this. If you've never heard this request before, I want to invite you. We are so close to bringing those stones together as we gather in person once again. Please find a stone, however big, however small, big, and know that together we will build an altar to remember. Stones enter the Palm Sunday story when religious officials ask Jesus to quiet the crowd, and Jesus replies, "If they were silent, even the stones would shout out." Now, the crowd was something to behold. It was actually making officials uneasy. And this week, I found a new point of connection with them. We have all been praying for the people of Boulder this week, holding those 10 individuals, their families, an entire community in love and grace. The feelings that such an atrocity bring, it's beyond words, it's beyond measure. One feeling I continue to revisit, not only in conversations with others, but in my own soul, is anger. I am so done. There is a deep systemic brokenness that causes us to repeat this awful moment over and over again as a society. We need common sense gun reform and an assault weapons ban. We need to address the mental health crisis affecting countless people in our country. The grace and empathy we feel for those affected, the thoughts and prayers that get offered, they are empty without addressing the brokenness that leaves us in this place once again. It's not supposed to be like this. Something has to change. Those are actually the same sentiments that brought droves of people to the streets in Jerusalem. The crowds of people weren't there to see a guy on a donkey. They were there to welcome a champion that would bring healing to the brokenness of the world. They were there because they were fed up with how things were. They knew it was supposed to be better. And they believed this guy would be the one to finally bring about justice and righteousness. The people waving palm branches were there because they were angry with the world. They were there because they were oppressed and forgotten. They were there because they felt like the system would never change. They were there with great expectations that that unassuming guy on the donkey would bring healing to the world. For every Hosanna that was shouted, there was a heart crying, "Grant us healing." Now the palm branches may have covered the road, but they couldn't hide the hurt. And the Palm Sunday story is just the beginning, for there is more disappointment to come. You see, within days, the same crowd that was shouting, "Hosanna," will be shouting, "Crucify him!" Those people completely sour on Jesus as the answer to their problems. He was supposed to grant us healing. Where is it? Why isn't everything changing? They're disillusioned. They are hurt and disillusioned because they are disappointed. And they're disappointed because they're hurting and they are angry. We've seen this in our own lifetimes, thinking a specific politician or political party or justice movement will fix everything. You know, thinking, "Oh, this time it'll be different." And so we celebrate their arrival onto the scene. And then we look around. We realize nothing's come of it. I mean, we don't crucify anyone, but we peel the bumper stickers off our cars and we put the t-shirts in the back of the closet and we wait for the next great hope to ride into town. Too often we, like the palm branch people of the gospel, have expectations that someone will fix it and do it for us. We laud and celebrate our neighbors who are active with causes we believe in, hoping something changes before they burn out. The great lift that our world needs doesn't come from one person or one cause or even fixing one problem. The healing we need is holistic. Hear that word, whole. There is not a societal issue that doesn't intertwine with every and any other social issue as well. It is all connected. And that's what often paralyzes us. That's also why the people we celebrate as they parade into town fail us. There is not one person or one party or one movement that can do it. A holistic problem needs a whole community response. There's a powerful story Fred Rogers used to tell in times of crisis. Mr. Rogers recounted how when he was little, his mother would tell him in times of trouble to look for the helpers when something was wrong. And that in looking for the helpers, he would find hope and light. I've treasured those words my entire life. But I worry we apply them too narrowly. Certainly, without question, there were helpers at that King Soopers in Boulder. Some of them running into the trouble. The police officers, the firefighters, the paramedics, the crisis response teams. In fact, one of those officers even lost his life trying to be a helper. I also hope we do not overlook the helpers who are working in the other moments. What about the state senator walking into the Capitol with a bill to take on the gun lobby? Or the volunteers who will knock doors to get that senator reelected? What about the city council person vying for mental health funding? And the underpaid social services staff that are out there making the house calls? What about that teacher who sits with a child to tell them that they are loved, helping shore up those places of insecurity that, if left untended, will lead to lashing out in the world? These are helpers. We need to look for the helpers, and we are invited to join them. They don't need a parade. They don't need palm branches. They don't need chants and adulation. They need us. They need us to be active in the healing. That is what Jesus did right after the parade. We talked about it last week. Jesus gets off the donkey, turns over the tables, and sits with people who are hurting. And he looks at everyone who followed him into town. He looks at that crowd with its great expectations, and Jesus expects something of them. And his request that they disrupt the status quo and their own comfort, his request that they sit with the ill and the diseased and actively care for them, his request that they get out of their comfort zones and be with those who've never known comfort. I tell you, you've never seen a crowd disperse so quickly. Their cries of, "Grant us healing," were met and responded to with an invitation, "Join me in healing." And then the palm branches just got tossed in the compost when they didn't like it. Our world is broken. Our world needs healing. We need healing. And on this day of palm branches and hosannas, I sincerely pray that we might all choose to join in being helpers in that divine work of healing, for that is where we will find the divine presence and find healing ourselves. We'll find it as a whole. Amen.